Hello?
Hi, it's Del from next door.
Oh my God, what's wrong?
Everything's fine. Cody just had a little run-in with Linda's grandkids.
Did Cody throw up?
Yeah, he did, as a matter of fact.
Shit, I'm so sorry. He does that. He gets overwhelmed.
Karate lessons, birthday parties, camp. I'll be right there.
We're doing fine.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry.
I'm getting better at barfing. I used to barf more.
Doesn't bother me. I've seen a lot of puking in my time. Way back, I was on a troop ship heading overseas, and everything was fine until we came to the last few days, right? And Sergeant put me on latrine duty, cleaning up the puke of all the other guys. That did me in altogether.
You threw up?
Ooh. I threw up big time.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Resident Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson. Joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to say that manga is weird, Alex Perkins. Perk, how you doing tonight?
Manga is weird.
I was upset by the manga slander at the beginning of the movie, and then they came around. Like, all right, we're cool. I was worried.
Yeah, all right. I'm glad. I'm glad they came full circle for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. This is the first time I've seen manga mentioned in a piece of media.
In a not Japanese media. Although I suppose Japanese media doesn't reference.
Actually, Slice of Life anime does, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
It's like, oh yeah, I was reading manga this weekend. But yeah, it was nice. I was like, I appreciate this very much. Thank you. But yeah, welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is the Red Stream Movie Podcast, where every week Perk and I review a movie that it was connected to the previous one. Sometimes very loosely connected, but you know, that's how we do things.
Sometimes it just vaguely ties back in because we've been struggling a little bit on this new one, but we'll do our best.
Yeah.
We might have to do some abstraction and add levels to it, but we'll get back to the main thread. Don't worry.
Yeah, but yeah, but right now we are on our female voices thread, so trying to highlight female directors and writers. And I'm glad we did, because this movie... But anyway, before I get into that, if you like our show, share it with your friends. We post every Friday on podcast services, and, you know, watch movies with us, and talk about them with us. But this week, watch a little movie called Driveways, which I never heard of before, but Perk, why don't you intro it for us?
Yeah, all right. So Driveways is a 2019 joint, directed by Andrew Ahn, and the tie-in to our female voices thread is one of the two screenwriters is Hannah Bose, along with Paul Therine. They were nominated for an Independent Spirit Award for their writing on this movie. This ties back in, coincidentally enough, we didn't even realize until we were looking through it, but Brian Dennehy is one of the leads in this movie, who was the bad cop in First Blood. Mm-hmm. So,
also, actually, fun fact for you, Perk, that you may not have known.
I'm sure I don't.
So Brian Dennehy in this movie and in First Blood plays a Korean War vet.
Huh.
We didn't know he was a Korean War vet in First Blood, because they didn't show it in the movie, but it's in the book that he's based on. He is a Korean War vet. Okay. And like, that's why he's mad at Rambo, because he's a Vietnam vet and there's like some, I don't know, some tension there. But gotcha. Anyway, yeah, kind of interesting.
Yeah, I do have a little trivia for you.
Yeah,
all of one trivia fact on IMDb. There's only one. It's that this was Brian Dennehy's last feature performance before he passed. Hmm. So,
yeah, I didn't realize he passed. That's very sad.
Yeah, shortly after this, or no, this actually came out posthumous.
Oh, okay.
He passed shortly after they finished recording.
Hmm. I mean, he gave a hell of a lot of performance.
And yeah, it kind of adds, like, in retrospect.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what it's about, right?
Yeah, tell me what it's about.
I usually do that on occasion. It's about a nine or soon to be 9 year old boy and his mom who go to. Do you know where it is?
I don't. It seems like it's on the East Coast. I don't remember them saying it. I don't know if they.
I was gonna guess like the South somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, it's something. It felt kind of like coastal uppity to me. At least Linda did. Sure. But I don't know. It could be kind of anywhere, I think.
Yeah. So it's about this boy and his mom, and they're going to clean out his deceased aunt's house, where she was kind of just hoarding a whole bunch of crap. And the movie focuses around the young boy Cody as he develops a friendship with the next door neighbor to his deceased aunt, who Korean War vet, clearly in the sunset of his life.
So I want to ask you, Kirk, how did you hear about this movie? Because you do told me that before this we picked it, that you had wanted to watch it when it came out. I had never even heard or seen anything about this movie. So how did you hear about it?
I don't remember. But it was it's right around the, like, usually I try and do an Oscar push. And this year, the year that it was like coming out in that kind of cycle, I remember seeing it, or maybe an ad for it. I don't know where I would have seen an ad for it. But I remember really wanting to watch it and then trying to get it, but it wasn't anywhere on streaming at the time.
Sure.
So yeah, it's one of those, like, don't even remember how I came about knowing about it, but when I saw the name, I was like, oh yeah, Driveways.
There you go. And yeah, like, yeah. I said, I'm glad you picked it, because this movie is so fucking good.
Gosh darn, ain't it just the sweetest thing?
Good lord. And you mentioned, I'm really happy the reason this movie was, like, selected for us is because of the female writer, because goddamn, the writing of this movie is fucking perfect. It is so understated. It's every conversation feels so real. There's zero exposition. You just figure everything out based on very normal conversations, and I absolutely adore the writing of this movie.
Yeah, I was like thinking something similar while watching it. It's like, this is a very small movie in scope. Like, it really is just like a few moments. There's not too much of a through line plot. It's just focusing on some characters and some relationships. And everyone feels so real. Like, these are just people. Every character, well, maybe aside from like the asshole kids, but I suppose
I've seen those types of kids before.
Pretty on brand for asshole kids. So, but and maybe Linda's a little bit caricaturish, but
yeah, she's from South Haven, and that's where Joseph's from. I've definitely met Linda. So. Yeah, I know that type.
I know Linda. So, but yeah, all the characters just feel so vivid, like they pop out of the screen just based on how well everyone's characterized.
Yeah, no, especially the kids too. Like, Cody killed it in this movie. I thought he was so good. And then
the kid did a fantastic job.
There's the asshole kids, but then the two kids he kind of makes friends with. They're not written in a ton, but even their little conversations are just like, hey, I like this thing. I like that too. Okay, bye. Like, that's such, like, kid shit, and it's just so good.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes child actors get overwritten. Yeah. But, you know, like, really in this movie, there's a bunch of moments where it's like, you know, like, Miguel hands the manga book to Cody, and his sister's like, hey, wait, that's from me too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that's just, you know, that's what kids will say. Oh, I can't remember. There was one line where I was like, yes, that's just, oh no, it was right away in the movie. When they were driving and Cody was putting bugles on the tips of his fingers.
Yes.
I'm like, that's such a good detail, because every kid did that.
Dude, I'm right. As soon as I saw them, like, this is going to be a good movie. Like, because they get it. Like, they understand the characters that they're, like, trying to portray.
No, and in a movie that's so based around moments, like, the fact that they just kind of, like, were so detail-oriented with just the little things, that it's great.
Yeah. Speaking of moments, there is one point of confusion in this movie. I'm hoping you can clear up for me.
Okay.
The scene where she goes to the bar, was that a memory, or did that happen in the same? Was that a memory of when she met Cody's dad, or was that she went out to the bar that night?
See, I'm too dumb to have even considered that.
Because the reason I ask is because right before that scene, she, like, writes a note and, like, sticks it on the door frame, and I'm assuming maybe it was, like, it's either I'm going out to the bar, or it was like, your dad says hi or something. But then we show the scene, and then she takes it down, and I'm like, did she leave, come back, and take it down, or did she put it up and then think about it and then take it down. I was just confused if that was like a memory or not.
I don't actually know. I took it at face value.
Okay. Because she said I have to do surgery tomorrow, which like, is she joking or did she used to?
I think that's just one of those you lie to someone at a bar.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was probably way overthinking it, but it was just, I was weird seeing the shot of her putting it up and taking it down right before and after that scene. I'm like, did she actually leave? I don't know.
I like the interpretation you've come up with. It didn't even cross my mind.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, because that was right after she got the phone call from him and he was being a dick bag. But also, I got to tell you this because I saw this and it blew my fucking mind. Okay, the actress plays the mom, Hong Chow. Do you know her from anything else?
Should I?
Do you know her voice from anything else? Because I'll tell you what.
I don't, but like, kind of familiar, maybe?
I need to double check this, so I'm not... Yeah, okay. In BoJack Horseman, she plays Pickles.
No way!
I would never, ever have guessed that.
No, but I definitely hear it now that you mention it. Wow.
I cannot hear it. Pickles is such a different character than the character she plays in this movie.
Yeah.
It's just definitely, oh my god.
More of an actual, like, a voice put on, but, like... Now I'll never forget. That's fantastic.
Yeah, insane. And she was so good, too. Like, I loved her character, because, like, you see her be a great mom, and you see her be a not-so-great mom, but it's never, like, horrible. Like, she's never, like, abusing Cody.
No.
But she's also... Yeah, it just felt very real. So we go back to this. This felt like such a real person that's trying her best and, you know, sometimes will say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, but, like, she loves Cody, and it's extremely obvious.
No, and it, like, down to the actual details of the characters, like, the fact that she's a medical transcriber to try and work towards becoming a nurse. Like, that's just, like, you know, in a lesser movie, she's just a nurse.
Yeah.
You know, or she's just in nursing school. Or, like, the fact that Cody has, you know, an anxiety disorder, like... Mm-hmm. Just these details make these characters feel so real because, I mean, those little things are what bring out, like, just really emphasize, like, a character as a whole.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, it feels like the writers, like, knew these people and then kind of adapted them for this movie, kind of, right? They are like, oh, I know medical transcriber, that's a good idea for this thing. Like, I think it's really helped with, yeah, like you said, just building all these characters. And even just the small moments with Dell, too, like just him sitting alone or the scene in the grocery store is so heartbreaking. Or his friend, he's like, oh, I gotta use the bathroom. And then he's just out in the parking lot, just not knowing what's going on.
The poem that he comes up with.
Yeah.
Wow.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. Were you also worried when they went to the VFW for Cody's birthday that one of the guys was going to be racist?
Yeah.
I was actually...
I was honestly just based on the premise, like, you know, an Asian American family and the Korean vet next door.
Yeah.
I figured race was going to be a huge part of this movie, and it is a little bit in just like the classic white person being like, oh, I'm not racist, but.
That's there fucking are a lot Linda,
of,
dude.
There are a ton of Mexican kids.
Yeah.
I was definitely. It's weird how just, like, society has bred into us this kind of anxiety for situations like that. But, yeah, they go to the VFW and everyone has a good time. And,
yeah.
Like, his buddy doesn't have an episode. And it's like,
yeah.
You know, given, you know, this movie doesn't really end with a bow on it. But I like spicing in a movie where things just kind of happen. And there doesn't have to be a huge climactic negative moment, like a falling out or anything. Like, I like when things can kind of just flow and we can just live in a moment, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's the only thing you get close to that is when Cody finds out that Dell has to go to a nursing home.
Right.
Which I was like, this is a movie. Cody and his mom are going to offer to take care of Dell. So he doesn't have to go to the place, but that's not what happened.
Probably
good.
No, I think it is. I think it's nice that it's not neatly tied up. And man, oh man, that like final soliloquy, like the last 5 minutes of the film from Brian Dennehy. Oh, it's just, it feels so real. Just he's a real character and his mannerisms and his facial expressions and his delivery, everything in that scene is perfect. And it's so heartbreaking to, you know, watch a man reflect on times long, long ago and think back and yearn for those days and regret familial decisions that he made. And, oh, and with the added context that he had passed away before the movie came out, man, it hits so hard.
Yeah. And to that end, too, I love how they handled his daughter, where, you know, he's an older guy. And so when they're talking in the library, he says, oh, yeah, she's engaged to her lady friend. He doesn't say, like, mm-hmm. girlfriend. He says lady friend. It's like, okay.
Right.
But then at the end, when he's giving his look, he mentions, like, yeah, you know, I should have been more there for her. I know it was hard for her in this town. And that's all he has to say, and you get it. Like, you understand. Like, this movie is so good at just not over-explaining things. Like, we gave you the pieces. You know, you understand what's going on here. We're not gonna, you know, spoon-feed it to you. I just love that so much. That was so well done.
No, and the fact that, you know, usually in something like this, like, the kid trying to ship their, you know, elderly parent off to a home is usually seen as a villain, but it's not like that at all. Like, yeah. Linda's just a person. And she wants to be close to her father in the final years of his life. Like, because my approximation is that they're in, like, I don't even know, like Tennessee or something, you know.
Just, yeah, I said it was a long drive to Seattle, so it's somewhere in the Midwest East.
Right, so it's like, I like that she's not characterized as a villain. You know, she's just more like a caring daughter, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I love seeing how proud he is of her. Like, when they're in the libraries reading the articles, he's just, like, smiling from ear to ear the entire time. It's really the writing and the characters that just make everything feel so real.
And that's really it. I mean, it's well directed, but, like, the direction doesn't really stand out. It's mainly just, it kind of, it's almost hands off to just let you experience the moment.
Yeah. And I guess,
mean, like, sorry, over the course of the film, you know, as he's, like, you know, selling off or donating, like, his wife's belongings too. It's just,
yeah,
there's so many different layers to these characters, and to get to see him make peace with essentially leaving his wife behind is another just brutal, heartbreaking moment.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And that adds to, like, less vilifying him moving away, because, like, yeah, he is kind of trying to get over his wife, and he said, like, it's been not been the same since she's been gone. But yeah, and I also wanted to mention, I loved how we got information about the aunt and also how little we got. Like, we really don't know, because no one knew her. And so we're not going to, like, find some secret, you know, document or picture that's going to give us all the answers. Like, no, like, no one really knew her, because she just kind of holed up in her house and
that kept was kinda, to herself.
Yep. You know, a couple conversations here and there from people. And then we even get, like, the asshole kids being like, oh, she was so fat. It's like, even though it's a dick thing, it's like, okay, that's still a way to, like, deliver information to the audience.
Doesn't feel spoon-fed, you know, like, no. 11 and 12-year-old kids would probably say your aunt was fat. Like,
yeah. Yeah, definitely. And even just the little scene we get with Cody and Kathy, where he asks her about his aunt, and she's like, yeah, well, I haven't really seen her in the past, like, whatever it was, like, 10 years or she was older, and they had a fight and, you know, all that stuff.
And then when Kathy's talking to Del and, like,
yeah,
like, I don't know this woman, like, I'm going through all of her belongings, like, who is this person? And it's just a lot of very melancholic, meditative moments.
Yeah, even when the realtor comes over for the walkthrough and she's like, this is too much for one person. Okay, it's like, oh, no, like, yeah, she had a lot. It's like, no, for you. Like, it's just like, man, God, this is, it's not, like, it's not, like, the saddest thing ever, but you just really feel it. And, yeah, I mean, this movie made me cry at the end, for sure. Every time, like, whenever, like, Cody hugged Del, I'm like, you got me. And then Freebie's like, now's a great time for ads. I'm like, God damn it. I was in the moment, Freebie. Why are you doing this to me?
So I was going to just rent it to not have to deal with that, but I couldn't figure out how.
Is it not on, like, Apple or Google Play?
Well, I can't Chromecast Apple.
So, okay, so here's the hack. This is what I do.
Right.
You Google Play. You rent it on Google Play, and then it links it to your YouTube account. Okay. So when you go on your phone, you go on a Chromecast, go to your YouTube app, go to My Movies and Shows. It'll be there. You can cast it. That's the hack.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
All right. Good to know.
For the if you're in the audience, that's how you can. Yeah, it's through YouTube. You can do it. But anyway. I normally write a bunch of notes like while I'm watching the movie. I didn't write much. I was in the movie the entire time, and it's like, yeah, this is just great, and they nailed it.
It's really, yeah, it's an experience. Like, you just get to live in it, which is nice. The one other thing I wanted to draw attention to is I think the score is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very withdrawn, minimal piano, and it's really beautiful, and there's like a through strain of melancholy. So just as I've said in the past, if a score sticks out to me, it's either really good or really bad, and this is definitely a case of really good.
Yeah, 100% agree. As far as recommendations go, I feel bad. I'm doing the same one as I said last week, which is Eighth Grade. It's another movie that I think really captures very just real emotions and real people at a young age. Yeah, love the movie. What's yours?
So it's a darker piece. It's a little bit tougher of a watch, but it's similarly beautiful and similarly small scope.
Mm-hmm.
The Florida Project,
mm.
Which also the main character is like a 6-year-old girl. So it's another scenario where the movie almost feels like told from the perspective of a child,
right?
Which manipulates how you kind of see the world of the movie. And yeah, that was one of my favorite movies the year it came out. And I'm a big fan of Sean Baker, the director.
Yeah. So I need to watch that one.
I'd say give that one a watch. But be prepared. It's a little heavier.
For sure. All right. Well, that's our review of Driveways. If you didn't watch it, give it a watch. It's definitely worth it. One of the best movies I've seen in a while, honestly. Really, really surprised me. But, yeah, let's get into our bonus reviews. I got two, you got one. So I'll go first.
Yes, sir.
I went and saw a little movie called Bullet Train last Friday.
Nice.
The new Brad Pitt, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Brian Tyree Henry, what's her name? I gotta look it up because I feel bad. Joey King joint. Fun movie. So here's what I'll say. It's directed by David Leitch, who you might know as the co-director of John Wick and the director of Deadpool 2. And I will say with 100% certainty, if you enjoyed Deadpool 2, you will love this movie. This feels like a sequel to Deadpool 2, mainly because, if you remember, Perk, did you see Deadpool 2?
Yeah.
Remember Zazie Beetz's character, Domino, mm-hmm. who her superpower was like luck?
Yep.
Luck, massive theme in this movie, and also kind of a mechanic. Okay.
Sure.
Maybe a little bit overused, but mostly fun, I would say. And then just, like, really fun music, really colorful, like, really, honestly, very well choreographed action, as you would expect from someone who worked on John Wick. It really, I appreciate it. It felt like all of the actors were doing their own stunts. I know I saw a stat, Brad Pitt did 95% of his own stunts, and you can tell because you can see his face the entire time, and it's like, thank you. Like, this is what action movies need to be in 2022. You cannot be swapping in stuntmen and having these terrible cuts to hide their face, like, or do head replacements. Like, this was, yeah, the action is great. Casting is phenomenal. I especially loved Aaron Taylor Johnson and Brian Tyree Henry's back and forth. They play brothers in the movie and just are very fun. But one knock I have is the pacing. I think it starts way too slow. There is an insane amount of setup in this movie, which you would not expect.
No, based on the trailer, I would not expect a whole big developing action.
So, I mean, the premise is simple. It's Brad Pitt, get the case. Like, that's it. You're on it. Get this case bulletin, go and grab it, get out. The problem is, the cast is so large, they spend time setting up every single character, and they front-load all of that in the beginning of the movie. And so, I'm like, can we get to an action scene? Like, there's one action scene that's a flashback, and it's like, it's fine, it's fun, but it's like, I needed action faster. I feel like if you're making an action movie these days, you have to start with an action scene, and then you can get into the movie. That's kind of the expectation. There's just a ton of setup in this movie, and it's like, all right, can we get, we're going. But finally, in Act 2, all right, we get moving here, things are happening, and then, surprisingly, all of the setup does pay off at the end of the movie. which I did not think they were going to be able to pull that off. But everything comes together and it pays off. I'm not sure it was worth the amount how long it took to set everything up, but the payoff was really cool, and it was very, very well done, I think, at the end there. So, really fun movie, really, you know, beautiful. I will say, I think a lot of people who watched it have said it's gorier than they expected. It's definitely in that, like, kind of comedy gore. Not full Tarantino, but, like, Deadpool 2 kind of esque comedy gore, if that makes
like,
sense.
Like Kingsman, maybe?
Yeah, kind of like Kingsman. So, okay. You know, it's not really shown in the trailer. So, if you're not a big gore person, maybe pass on this one. But very fun, great actors, great soundtrack, great action. Just, yeah, pacing was a little bit off, but had a fun time for sure.
Nice, good to hear. Yeah. I'm going to try and see that one. Probably not this week. I got a hot date to go see a movie with my boy Frank. So
Okay. What's your movie?
Yeah, I'll let you know. Well, it's a surprise. Right. You'll like it, though.
Because I'm telling you, I've been looking at the release schedule for the rest of the year. I'm like, man, there is nothing until November.
Yeah, you got to wait until all the nonsense. But I could have sworn there was one movie coming out soon. Maybe I'm lying.
Is it the Idris Elba Tilda Swinton one? The no, Thousand Years of Longing? I know some people are excited for that one, but I also saw it got bad preliminary reviews. I don't know.
That's a bummer.
Nothing I'm excited for until November, but that's just
okay.
Anyway, what did you watch?
I watched the first season of Barry.
Oh, okay.
Scattered around during my nightmarish travel experience this past weekend.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I might break your heart a little bit.
Yeah.
I understand that it's very good, but I wouldn't say I really enjoyed it.
I mean, that makes sense.
If that makes any sense.
It's not as much of a comedy as you might think it is going in.
No, I imagined Bill Hader. I imagined it full-blown comedy, but it's a lot more like a Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
More than it is like
Breaking Bad's a great sitcom. Comparison. Except for NoHo Hank. NoHo Hank is fucking hilarious. I love
him. Well, so that was going to be my comment, is he's the only character I enjoy. Yeah. Like, most of the other characters, like, this was almost kind of a detraction for me, is most of the other characters, I'm kind of rooting for them to die. Like, I want Fuchs dead. I've wanted him dead since the start of the show.
Yep.
Like, the main love interest, can't stand her.
That's kind of the point, though.
I understand that that's the point, but you gotta understand where I'm coming from, where it's like,
yeah,
it's tough to watch when there's no one to root for other than like Barry, but Barry's like,
he's a sociopath.
Well, he's psychotic, because just the obsession with the acting class just seems so out of character, which makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the just like, I gotta keep killing people so I can keep going to acting class. It's just such a, it's, I, you know what, creative premise, credit where it's due.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, none of the characters are really just
but,
fun
okay,
to watch.
But how,
even the teacher is,
I was gonna
just
say, how good is Harry
Winkler,
asshole. Though? He's so fun to watch.
Henry Winkler's fantastic. He's amazing at what he does. But boy, oh boy, he's another character where I would not be mad if he caught a bullet. Obviously, I'm, what, two
I don't know, man.
Behind,
the way that, I don't want, not to spoil anything, but the way this season one ends, I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, well, we won't spoil, obviously, because this show's only, what, like 5 years old?
Yeah, no spoilers.
Give
I'm just saying.
A chance.
And also, if you do continue with it, I'm curious to see what your take on Sarah is in season two, because things with her definitely happen.
That's the thing, actually, is where it's like, I didn't really enjoy my time with it, but I am interested to keep going, just because of where it's left.
Right.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I don't love cliffhangers, but, like, they work, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they get you.
Yeah, I don't like the concept, but other than, for example, coming to recent mind, the cliffhanger in Severance didn't really do it for me. Mm. Like, I didn't really care.
Sure.
But, like, this one, I'm like, oh, what happens next, though?
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, there's another season. I'm not sure I'll watch it right away. I got a few things I gotta work through, but
maybe you watch it will push me to finally watch season 3, because I rewatched season 1 recently and I liked it. again, but getting motivating myself to watch season two, I'm like, man, there are some scenes in this season I'm not sure I want to watch again
because they're very hard. Season two?
Yeah.
You're not selling it for me.
Well, it's just they're hard to watch. They're not. I'm not saying they're like. It's not like I'm not saying sure. It's a bad show. It's like, man, it's emotionally draining to watch, and I don't know if I'm ready for that right now. I don't know if I need that in my life.
Imagine watching it while it's 3:30 at Chicago Midway Airport. And you're freezing your ass off and can't sleep because the floor Zamboni is too loud. Mm. So you're laying on the ground, using your backpack as a pillow, using a t-shirt as a blanket, and watching Barry on your phone.
Honestly, under those conditions, I'm surprised you liked it as much as you did.
Yeah, right?
That dude, we just reminds me. Remember in BoJack when he's in the cabin and there's like no heat? He's just like in the corner watching the show version of his life where like Paul Giamatti is playing himself.
Yeah,
you're about to do that.
Yes, actually that's what I was going for. Yeah,
gotcha. Well, yeah, we'll see where we go with Barry. But the other thing that I watched, well, I'm still watching, I have one episode left, is The Sandman. Have you heard about this
show? The one with Chris Hemsworth?
No,
not at all.
No,
what's that one, the spider?
This is not, it's not superhero related.
This, well, no, I don't think the Chris Hemsworth one is either.
So, The Sandman, well, okay, and that says that's superhero related. It is a comic book, based on a comic book.
Damn it, you led me astray.
It's published by DC, but it's not in the DC universe, I don't believe.
Spider-Head is what I'm
thinking of. No, yeah, so The Sandman, new Netflix series. Yeah, like I said, based on a comic, a very, very critically acclaimed comic. Honestly surprised it's taken this long to make a show. And thankfully, the creator of the comic was heavily involved in making the show. And I'll tell you what, man, this show's fucking good. I was hesitant just because Netflix has been very hit or miss lately, and they've been just dumping money into things, hoping that they're, you know, they'll be good.
But I thought you loved The Gray Man.
I will say in this show there is a lot of CG, mainly CG environments that people are like standing in.
Oh, okay.
It's not great, but it's not terrible. It's like you get what's going on. It's not taking me out of it too much. We're talking about, it's about dreams. Like, so the main character, the Sandman, aka Morpheus, aka the King of Dreams, his deal is he controls the dreams of humanity. There's a dream realm. It's gonna look weird. I'm not too, you know, fussed about that. But pretty much every actor in the show I didn't know previously. Granted, it's a lot of British actors, so that's probably why. I know one of the actresses is like in Doctor Who for a while. But the acting is phenomenal. The guy who plays Morpheus is so good. Because his character is very quiet, and whenever he talks, it's very deliberate. Like, every word he says is calculated, and the actor is just nailing that. Like, you really feel the power of it. And, like, where the show takes the premise is very interesting. I think the first half of the show, so it's 10 episodes, I've watched 9 of them. The first half is kind of one arc, and the second half is another arc. The first arc, it was incredible. The journey he goes on, and kind of the plot twists, and the character, it was just phenomenal. Second arc, I'm not loving as much, mainly because the show gets really fucking weird. Minor spoiler alert, the climax is occurring at a serial killer convention. So, you know, that's a setting with a lot of interesting people. But, the second half has gotten really, really weird. But the world is just so interesting, and there's been some really cool episodes kind of pushing the world to its limit and like what's the kind of the most interesting thing we can do. I'm surprised how much I'm enjoying it despite how much like money and CG is kind of in it. So definitely check out The Sandman if you're interested. I probably didn't do a great job of selling it, but it's a great show.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But there's another work in progress review I'll have for next week, but I just didn't get time to wrap it up.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So next week might be a big one for me.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I don't know what's next on the docket for me. I mean, I'll obviously finish Sandman, but there's not really any other shows that I need to watch. Harley Quinn, but that's not done airing yet. I'm sick of these weekly shows, man. Just drop it all at once, please.
Yeah, I like binging. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
Are you going to watch I Am Groot?
I am not. First of all, I'm sure it will be good because I like everything they've done with Groot.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't be bothered. Sure. I can't imagine a show about a character who doesn't talk.
I mean, I think it's 6 episodes that are all less than 10 minutes. So I imagine.
Oh, all right.
It's like little shorts. It's like that's the Baymax bad, show that just came out, which I have not watched yet. But so I might just get through because it's probably less than an hour to watch the entire thing.
There's another show that came out just like somewhat like that, which I haven't watched. But it's Rowan Atkinson, and he's like house sitting,
and there's a
bee in the house, and it's like a total of an hour and a half. It's like 6 episodes, and yeah, it's just I can imagine what it's gonna be if it's mm-hmm. Rowan Atkinson mm-hmm. and a bee, but yeah, it's just maybe that's gonna be a new trend where there are gonna be these little like broken up mini series, like tiny series almost.
Yeah, I could see it. If it's working for people, then yeah, they wrote Atkinson. Well, yeah, I saw a trailer for it, and it looked kind of fun. Just him like destroying a house,
It's kill the bee. At the most base level, it has to be kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, well, that is our show for this week. Next week, get ready for this connection we're pulling out of our ass here. Yeah. So we're gonna watch The Virgin Suicides, one of Sofia Coppola's biggest films. This thing was one of her first ones, if not her first. But
it could have been.
Anyway,
I don't know.
The connection, besides just a female director and writer, is Scott Glenn, who I mainly know as the guy who plays Stick in the Daredevil show. But he's also in a movie called Training Day, which you may or may not know was episode
-1.
-1 of this podcast, where we were like just testing it out, which obviously you guys have not heard that episode because we didn't record it. But, you know, it's a loose thing, but we got there, so...
Yeah, we're there.
So next week, we are watching The Virgin Suicides. It is on Amazon Prime for free and on Paramount. So hopefully you have one of those two things. I do not, so I will be renting it. But yeah, there you go. Prime, Paramount, The Virgin Suicides. And until next week, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.